Welcome to the Withuel Podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark. I run Withuel and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ and I exist currently.
I'm AR Pulver, trying to think of an Atomus joke that's not coming to me right now.
You could ask if it being Atom is a reference to some random game, which I've seen.
I think that's an Evangelion reference. Come on.
I thought it was a Frankenstein reference.
Do you think there's been enough Digimon stuff in the last week?
Not for me. I only have the demo for Time Stranger, so I'm maintaining for just fine.
No, that's the game.
I hope not.
Okay, we have plenty to talk about, so let's go ahead and just start. So first up, hey, Digimon Beat Break premiered, the newest Digimon anime.
Yay.
I'm glad they pulled the Pacific Rim and just like, Monster Evolution beating the shit out of each other immediately.
I think even a lot of people notice if that's actually good or not, jumping straight to that, because it's kind of disconnected from the episode, and what it really feels like doing that more than anything else is that as much as they want to go, we know we have plenty of 20 and 30-year-old fans also going, this is airing at 9 a.m. for kids, and we need to keep their attention with actual monsters. Yeah.
That's what it's doing. It's like, let's just have a battle right away to make sure people are paying attention.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. Like,
no, so am I.
It's like, you can get a little glimpse of the other characters.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting until episode 2, 3, 4 for them to trickle in. Like, just kind of throw them in there, make you a little bit interested in what's going on, confirm that this is basically Savers.
I don't really like the design of Wolvermon, to be honest.
A little basic.
It doesn't quite feel like it fits the design language of the rest of the Digimon.
No, it doesn't.
And the other ones do?
Is completely connected.
No, I mean in the show on the team. Like Chirapmon,
right.
Like you put Chirapmon, Geckomon, Marasimon, even with him being giant, and Pristimon together, there is a design language.
Wolvermon, I do think Marasimon stands out a little
no,
bit.
No, Marasimon does stand out, but I mean, it's of the same design style. It's just the height is different. Wolvermon feels like it's from something else, which is weird. I don't dislike it. It just feels off. We get them battling Funbimon. Her hitting the Saputama and the wrist QR code. I'm not sure how I feel about the evolution scene, because Adventure did not do them for a lot of characters, but they were very impressive. And Ghost Game had some basic but nice ones.
This is just like, ooh, spinny.
It's a little rapid fire, but I'm honestly, if that's the choice they want to make, I'm okay with it if it lets us get to other stuff faster. Because,
well,
you know, we don't need the endless 3-minute sequences.
To be fair, if you check the intro narration and the opening and the outro, do you know how much time those take?
Too much.
Ignoring the outro, just the intro with the narration, that's 2 minutes long for a 23-minute show.
Yeah, that's right.
They're doing their best to suck up time like the Ghost Game intro.
Yeah, well, I'd rather honestly, I'm okay with it being intro as well.
I like the not digital world, digital space. I worry it's going to feel a bit cheap if they use it too much.
It's very Atmon.
You know what
it's kind of what Atmon does to go into that false world,
you know,
with less detail.
Digicore vibes.
So you know what it reminds me of? It's not Digimon related. It looks like that really that mock VR space they did in VR Troopers where they had the repainted Power Ranger helmets.
Oh my god, yes.
I thought you were going to go into Reboot, but that's okay.
No.
Reboot was the first thing that came up to my mind.
It reminds me of when they do that in VR Troopers, and they change the helmets to repainted Red Ranger helmets. Keo's the one who we get the most personality from in this intro, where he's late, he's getting snacks, and they very quickly clarify he sees Glowing Dunn's family, and he is not going to deal with anyone who causes problems.
Like, yes,
you
bullied my adopted children. You're going to die.
Basic title screen, which is fine. So one of the things people are most interested in hearing about is in the intro and throughout the episode, the suggestion that this is actually a like post-apocalyptic world and the characters just don't know or are ignoring it? Like it's a dystopia?
I mean, it is a dystopia, but...
It is to a degree. I'm waiting to see what the show does. No, I mean in the sense of I'm waiting to see what the show does with it, because we've had weird suggestions of the world in Digimon before and it's just not going anywhere.
Yeah. No, they do have to do something with it, but I'm glad it's confirmed that this is an absolute hellhole.
No, see, I don't necessarily agree that it is.
We see from the first 10 minutes. Like, no, good God, this world is...
No. I don't mean that something's wrong with the world. I mean, even from the intro narration, they're showing that something could be very, very much worse. Where they're showing the babies getting injections and stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
No,
that could actually be nothing. That could be something that is literally just generic world building and not meant as bleh. Now, that
I think the idea is that's kind of what we're judging the show on. It's like, how far do they go into these themes? Like, because we've seen the last two series start off with really cool concepts and then just devolve into episode of random genre stuff. This is like, okay, how are you going to explore this thing? That's what we're judging Beat Break on.
See, I will judge Beat Break.
Are they going Psycho-Pass and standalone complex on this?
I will judge Beat Break harsher if it doesn't do it, because the setup theoretically actually depends on us noticing this type of thing and what is going on, especially when they show that half the city's hell and everything.
I mean, I didn't notice that. I didn't notice anything about that baby in the intro.
If you look at
found the world to be,
if you look at the
terrible.
Intro narration, like they show babies being injected and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I didn't notice any of that, and I still found the world to be terrifying.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying I will wait to see what is going on. There's definitely suggestions like they all want to get in the nice egg, and I will say this: This is the year of like them jumping to generic lore stuff that doesn't matter a bit too much. Like the third, like they've told us there's three digital worlds for years. They only just vaguely introduced it. And now they're already hinting that's what the show's going to be about. That may be a little much for me just to like, this is the year of the lore dump sort of.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more interested in the real world than like the human world is. Fast care about a digital world. I don't. At this point, I think they could do a whole series without a digital world.
Oh no, they could.
This world
but
is
I'm saying
be so interesting.
But I'm saying this.
They have to explore.
But
things.
The setup is definitely that they're going to the third one. That's what they're setting
pull
up.
Through.
They have like half a dozen hints to it already.
Yeah.
Please
don't
just
no, I know
like,
what you're saying.
Wow,
yeah.
This would be really interesting.
I'm just.
Let's remember what. Like, remember what Ghost Game did with it.
I know, it's just, I would prefer they not speedrun lore, is the issue. Like, we knew nothing, we knew nothing about the third digital world 6 months ago. We did not even, we didn't have a name, we did not know anything other than there was a third one. Then we get the introduction
I mean, honestly,
for V-Pet.
Which digital world? It is doesn't matter unless you have two worlds in conjunction with each
other,
which I'm dying to see.
That's why I was kind of like, if it there even being three worlds is kind of a weird contention that's never mattered to such a degree that the first multi-world story we got was two versions of the Yggdrasil world, and it did not mention the other two at all. That's why it's weird that they're speed running the other two. And we get an introduction to not the main character, Hitomi. Her Sapo Tama's out of batteries. And then we get Tomuro. I like the drumming his way to school scene.
Yeah, he's on the spectrum.
Yeah. And then he catches her Sapo Tama when it falls and it charges up and he doesn't know it. But solid tease. And then she gets the weird day with her Sapo Tama acting odd. And she accuses him of breaking
it. You totally ordered this. Like, no, I didn't.
Like that they had it acting odd in positive ways. Like surprising
some were positive.
Disturbing
some
positive. Yes, disturbing and
No, some were negative.
Unusual positive
some,
ways.
Some
were negative.
Like the bank account.
But like it wasn't all treating it like it wasn't all giving her a shitty day.
Yes,
it was
it was random.
What?
It was random basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. And you know, he has no control over it. I like the drumming. I worry this is going to be a character shtick, like Hero being handy.
Look, I live with a drummer. They just do that.
No. I know drummers do. What I'm saying is I would like this to be an ongoing character thing and not just an introduction shtick. Like, remember when when Hero was introduced and it was like he was handy and he knew how to do stuff that was more older fashioned? And how many more episodes did that come up in? Maybe one?
One.
I mean, I'm less worried about that because the drumming works really well with the whole character trait of his emotions. Like, that's a really interesting synchronization and a distinction that can be played ways.
But that's why I want them to keep doing it and for it not to be an introduction.
Obviously. It's a good introduction episode. I think it goes without saying that a lot of everything we have to say here is they need to keep doing it.
Yeah. Brothers late, left him a letter.
Yeah,
Broccoli is spelled wrong. We get the picture of the family, and they obviously are suggesting the parents are missing. Actual drums, which was very nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness.
And then we see Hitomi has been frozen, and his brother's under impression it is somehow Tomorrow's fault because someone is after him. And he wants an explanation because he knows he isn't normal.
Yeah.
Brother runs off to deal with something. I love the Sapotama lecturing him on mental wellness.
Dystopia. Keep going.
Then he accidentally requests information on what happened to Hitomi, and the egg tells him. And also mentioning mysterious creatures. He grabs it.
Yeah, it's like, shut up, Alexa.
He grabs it, he throws it. Therefore, showing the egg is like a phone, because that's what people do with their phones. And glows, pulse with a heartbeat. It yells about errors. And then we get the... I like these sort of quick jump evolutions to Gekkoman.
Yeah.
Eye catch is basic. I like it. The only way I will not like this eye catch is if every episode is actually him. If it is not, they're going to do it with the other...
They gotta rotate. Yeah.
If they rotate, it's a great eye catch. If it's actually just going to be him every episode, it's a terrible eye catch. Because the entire setup of it is they're going to do it for everyone.
It'd be interesting to see if they go beyond the four main kids.
Later, I will be curious to that. I would not expect that early on.
But
we get the hello from Gekkoman. He declares he came from his Sapotama. He eats what's left of the Sapotama. And we have to stop to note that early on, the comparisons to Kiroro were supposed to be a joke. Gekkoman is just Sergeant Frog, basically.
Yes, mm-hmm. I've accepted this.
Yeah.
I have no issue with it. I'm just pointing out that, like, it was meant to be a bit. Me and Dev, and occasionally when air was popping up, us saying that it seemed like Sergeant Frog. The closer we got to the show, the more we kind of went, I'm not sure this is a joke.
This is, yeah.
And then Gekkoman wants E-Pulse. And he bites Tomorrow, and we get a little hint that it seemed like a number of people missed, which is Tomorrow's arm starts to freeze before he hits him off. And Gekkoman says he can help find the girl, though. And then he kind of goes Spider-Manning away, and Tomorrow chases him. We get a new villain Digimon.
Did Tomorrow actually say he wanted help finding the girl, or did Gekkoman said, let's do this?
And to be fair, he did follow Gekkoman.
I don't remember if he...
He did follow
him. Yeah, he did.
So that is his fault at this point. If he did not want help, he did not have to follow. Here's the thing. If Kiroro shows up in your house and says, come on, you don't follow him.
I love this alternate world where Tomorrow's like, okay, bye.
Yeah, because...
Give me back my phone when you come back.
Because following Kiroro only leads to two things. Something stupid.
Personally liable for whatever happens.
Or building a Gundam model. And then we get new Digimon showing up, Paimon, which I do not believe they named them in the show, and they do not do an analyzer either.
They did not name him in the show. I had to look at the ending credits to get its name.
Yes, and they identify different brothers, because I believe one was Scar and one was Earring.
And one was Whoopi Goldberg.
See, yeah, see, when I first saw images of these guys, I literally went, it's the fuckers from The Lion King. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
Yep. It looks and sounds like them.
And then Geckomon kicks in, which, I will say this, is a lot of his movements seem to be based on Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's very rubbery.
I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just like,
yeah,
I mean, the way he's bouncing around, he swings around, he like grabs stuff with his tongue and pulls himself to swing. It's all very Spider-Man.
It's a little different than, it's a little different for a main character Digimon, and I really appreciate that.
Yes, no, so do I.
They have a few different move sets in their child form. Like, that was something about Gundam that they didn't use nearly enough.
Yeah, we did not get enough of his hammer swing.
Yeah. Yeah, Gumdramon had all sorts of crazy move abilities and didn't use them nearly as much as he should have.
Geckomon has specified he does not like being called a lizard.
I mean, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, and then he gets smashed against the wall, and in comes Tomorrow's Brother with a pipe and also lecturing him about staying inside.
Brother likes to hit things with sticks too.
Yeah, and his brother then clearly knows about Digimon. They'll talk about later. Got to run. Brother doesn't really make it on that jump though, and yeah. Foot starts to freeze as he gets bit, and then we get the not quite lore dump that he clearly knows what's going on, and Tomorrow grabs him before he falls. He tells Tomorrow to drop him. They can't fight a Digimon. Very nice crying on the glasses visual.
Oh, I love that.
That's
so good.
I would say that is a signature emotional moment in the first episode, is that you get the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow doesn't want his brother to leave him alone. Brother apologizes, says he isn't. His pulse will shake the world. We see his brother's eyes start to do the dead man's blank out.
And
and then he falls. The music amps up. The second Digimon shows up. And then this is where we need to pause to point out that while everyone's like, oh, it's such an adult show, they've killed someone in the first episode. One, that's very normal.
It's a body.
And two, they do not stop to clarify and show that he is dead, which already makes it suspect.
If they don't show an open casket funeral, I am calling it now that he's not only coming back, but he'll probably be a bad guy.
Well, yeah. See, that's the thing is in episode when you're in the opening of a show and the character who clearly knows everything dies saving the hero and you do not actually see the person die.
He's not dead.
Yeah. Like, do we think that Digimon that was biting him died?
Right.
Yeah, I think. What do we want to say? There's a 90. I'd say there's a 90% chance the brother shows up alive. I will give that there's a 10% chance the brother.
I think higher.
Yeah, probably, but I'm trying to be reasonable.
I think it's 90% chance that he's alive and will come back, and 10% chance that he has this cold heart thing and he's just on ice for a while.
Probably.
Possibly, now, you know, that might be an aspiration for Tomorrow to figure out how to reverse
No, better one. What is the percent chance that we get a masked character, either villain or good at some point, and then they reveal later it's the brother?
Oh my god, it's Tuxedo Mask.
I've been dabbling way too much into Earthbound fandom lately, so this is, like, way too on the nose for me.
He wants to be stronger. Brother gave life for him. Geckomon gets the pulse effect and fattens him on the E-pulse and eats Tomorrow.
I believe that's only the second time a Digimon has eaten his partner.
I mean, Vor in the first episode.
I think that's only the second time.
Then Tomorrow argues with him to let him out. There's ones who
first
have tried.
First time being survive, of course.
He asks for E-Pulse, shows him the leftover Sapotama piece he'd eaten, notes he's too hungry with E-Pulse, and if he believes in him, they can fight, his brother, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The other Digimon surprised at how much energy Geckomon's absorbing, but very smartly decides to charge anyways, despite, like, identifying that something is not right here. Geckomon hits him hard.
You don't have enough brain cells.
Yeah,
really. I mean, if you're lucky, you'll hit him before it happens.
Good action shot. Then we get the last shot in the episode is that action trailer shot that they've really liked using.
Yeah.
And episode over. So animation, I'd say, is about the same as 2020 in Ghost Game. I think the colors benefit the animation more than they did in Ghost Game.
Yeah, it's
they're a little vibrant. Richer.
Yeah, it feels very.
Yeah, if they're not going for like Ghost Game was kind of going for that little dark, subdued attitude, and this is more vibrant.
It very much feels like 2020 in colors, not necessarily color scheme, but overall style. Design.
I mean, it's not like bright like they're in the digital world like Adventure was, but it still does the job.
Designs are solid. Not naming the high mons are interesting. I'm curious to see if we'll get analyzers later or not, because the other advantage of analyzers is it lets them cheat on the time a bit more.
It does. Yeah. I understand the reason for that, because it's possible that since, you know, Tomoro doesn't really know about Digimon, he may not have the tools to identify the Digimon. That might be something that he gets after he joins the group.
Yeah, not like he has like a Digivice.
Or like have Chirapmon do them or something.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing here is the main focus is on character and teasing bits of an ongoing story, which I feel like one reason for the positivity after this is we all remember like feeling the same at the beginning of Ghost Game, and it just not doing anything with it. It feels like the stuff they're teasing here, they can't get away with not dealing with.
Yeah, this is more than just Haru and his dad, or Hiro and his dad. There is this whole world that needs to be unraveled.
Yeah,
it does seem clear that they recognize that this world has some serious issues with it.
Yes.
And that there are enough things to point to go, this is going to be deconstructed at various points along the way.
The only issue I have with that is I remember us saying that in Ghost Game Episode 1.
And then after 6 episodes,
to be clear, I think with how everything is here, I don't think they could even get away with avoiding it if they tried. But after last time, I'm sort of on the fence of waiting to see what they do with it.
Yeah, and the other thing that's really important is that Ghost Games World, all of the enhancements in Ghost Games World were very superficial. Like, they had these holograms around their world. This Sapotama thing has completely infiltrated society. Everybody relies on these things. It changes how people function.
It's
a bigger like part of the world.
I put an asterisk to that for a key reason. If they were literally just cell phones, there'd be no difference.
But they're not. They do seem to be a little more involved.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is there isn't anything that could not. The entire idea of it being the egg is just the whiff hint of they are eggs.
Yeah, but I mean,
but I'm saying know, structurally.
I mean, yeah, it's.
But I'm saying they've replaced
phone shape. It wouldn't be different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The only thing that may be different is that, yes, there is the vague suggestion that if a Digimon popped out of one of them, they could be in all of them.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not even referring to that. I'm just talking about the life, the way this has changed people's lives.
I'm not sure I agree structurally, because they are just really nice cell phones.
Yeah, but we're also in a dystopia right now, so...
Yeah, but that's my point. There's no difference. Yeah.
I mean, I want this world to be... I want our real world to be deconstructed just as much. Like...
Good luck with that. But yeah, I would say solid...
AI is terrible.
Solid premiere. I don't think it's at the level of special yet that some people really clearly think it is. I do think it's solid, it's good. There's not enough for it to be special. And I definitely
it's an
don't.
A minus for me.
Yeah, and my grade's around there. And I definitely don't think. I honestly don't think the premiere was as good as Ghost Games.
No, I don't think so either.
Because Ghost Game in 2020 both had exceptional premieres. The issue was not going far enough with what we saw there.
Yeah, I've got this on par with Adventures opening. I think
I had
specific points of criticism about
adventures. I feel like this would be. I feel like this would be the better opening compared to 2020 if we did not have the. This is only really here to keep the attention of kids who might leave at the beginning. Because part of the
adventure that was the first three episodes.
Yeah, but no, but that works as an introduction to what they are doing. Even if it does not match later here, we get an episode that is about partially about the mystery, the intrigue, and characters not understanding or knowing after they've done the 6 minutes of Digimon battling. Us seeing that there's crime involved with it, they've already given us stuff that kind of
that still counters. That's still world building.
No, but I mean, instead of introducing it with the character, they've shown it to us not necessarily because we needed to see it, but because they wanted to show it to not have people change the channel, is what I mean. It feels like anything. Yeah, that scene's not there to add to the introduction of Tomura or anything. It is purely there to stop people from changing the channel at going, well, this scene is boring.
Yeah, it is, but I think that scene's still accomplished enough for me.
Oh, no, it does. I'm just saying I don't necessarily think it matches the rest of the episode, which pushes the premiere down a hair for me. I think if we'd gotten 5 more minutes of Tomura living his life before everything goes to hell, it would have been a better premiere. Because we actually get very little depends of Tomura before that happens.
It depends on what else we need to see of Tomura at that time. Because there does need to be new facets introduced if you're going to do that. Otherwise, what we got pretty much covers it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Is I'm hoping we'll see that in the next episode, to be honest. But we will see. And then, hey, it's everyone's favorite. I went through the guest actors. Hitomi is Minami Suda, who was Zubamon in Ghost Game. Many roles. We have a bunch more to talk about, so none really interesting for us to stop and talk about. I don't know who Mitsuo is. I assume that was the criminal guy at the beginning.
Yeah, that's Mitsuo.
Takeyuki Kondo, who was Flaw Wizardmon in Ghost Game. Lots of actual big roles. Most notably, he was Go in Godanner. He was Kantaroth in Metabots.
Huh.
And he's Phoenix Wright in the games.
Yeah, I like that he's made that the third one.
Oh, no, there's a bunch more.
It's like, Go Danner, but also Phoenix Wright.
Well, he's not Phoenix Wright in the anime, as far as I know. So I put game and stuff at the
games
end.
I think the games are the bigger thing.
No, yeah, I know. No, but I'm saying I'm going through their anime stuff first. Sakura Kawaguchi's Fanbeemon. She just had a bunch of bit parts in Adventure and Ghost Game. And so I was looking through to see if she had any big roles, and I found one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Haya in World Trigger.
Oh, God. He's still on that?
Yes.
We still can't escape it.
That bit won't die.
No. Takashi Matsuyama was Haimon Scar. He was Musimon in O2 and Tamers. Alamon and Tamers, Sneemon and Frontier, plenty of small roles in 2020, including a Batomon core. In Ghost Game, he was Waru Monzamon and Dagomon. His non-Digimon roles are so big, I just picked a handful, which I think I copy-pasted from last time. Gigastorm in Beast Wars 2, God Magnus in Transformers Car Robots, Beast King Guitar in Violinist of Hamelin. Dubbed over roles, King Riku in Aquaman, Mr. Bean, Sparky in the Speed Racer movie, and the one that I thought everyone liked the most, Fuzzy Lumpkins in the Powerpuff Girls.
That doesn't top Mr. Bean.
Oh, don't worry. The next one's the good one. Are you ready? Daisuke Kishio's Haimon Earring. Long association with Digimon, including probably best known for his Crosswords characters, Zenjiro, Blastmon, Mailbirdmon, yep. Ballmon and Beelzebubmon. Drakumon in Yaksumon. Yeah. He was Arata in Cyber Sleuth and Hacker's Memory. He was Betsumon in Ghost Game.
Oh, God.
And then I skipped over all his anime roles for a selection of non-Japanese material he dubbed. He was the Japanese dub actor. Are you ready?
That
is the bit.
Stevie in Adam's Family Reunion. Jason in Jason in Boy Meets World. Stevie was, I think, one of the cousins.
One of the...
In Adam's Family Reunion.
Not one of the camp... Not one of the camp kids?
I believe he was an Adams.
Oh, Union. Oh, okay.
And yes, that Union. Tiny Iron Fist asking, is this necessary? Yes, it absolutely is, because it gets funnier. He was Jason in Boy Meets World. That was the friend played by Jason Marsden in the first few seasons. Bill in Freaks and Geeks, Blaine in Glee, Dave in David the Barbarian. He's Remy in Ratatouille. Bumblebee,
oh my God.
Bumblebee,
that's the best one.
Bumblebee in Transformers Animated. Are you ready for the best one? He was in Red Dwarf. Are you ready as who?
Okay.
Hitler.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that credit. I'm like, oh, great, we can fish with Hitler. And then the members of Tokyo Hotoisen and the two members of INI who hosted the special played bit roles while Hitomi was walking around, which they recorded during the recording of the special.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I don't think you watched that special, did you, Air?
Nope.
Yeah, they did like a pre-air special where they were previewing the show, and they had two comedians and two members of a boy band, like singing Butterfly, and then sneaking into the building to get previews of Geckomon and stuff, and the director was waiting for them, and they recorded roles for the show. The opening is out, which is Mad Pulse by Mad Kid. Really good opening. The full version, I'm not sure how much people will like, though.
It's just more of the same. It doesn't really
else. See, it has some very long bridges that I'm not sure they fit that I like them. I'm not sure the average person will. The music video is out, too. That's fine.
I still have to watch that one.
It is mostly generic, low budget. We're going to stand here and sing, and also the camera's going to wave around at times. Yeah, it's in chat. It's J Rock with rapping. Yeah. The ending beat up by A Tomioki, very different for Digimon. I don't feel a lot from the song. I think it works well in the ending.
It's such a generic anime ending.
It is.
Like, not Digimon in general, we're going to do this style of song.
You weren't here when they announced the ending.
Mm-hmm.
The line that I, because, you know, I always do, like, stupid research on these people so I can do actual intros. I'm going to read the line that I did when we found out the opening and ending people. Because you weren't here for that. I, Tomioki, is a singer-songwriter who moved to and lived in Australia for much of her youth, before moving back to Japan as a teen. She was inspired to sing after seeing a video of Taylor...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
As one does.
Although, I wrote Taylor Switch.
That...
And I just keep forgetting to fix that type of...
The non-copyright.
Non-union
Mexican equivalent.
We have clean opening and ending. The opening works really well. The last shot, I think, is great, where we get them with the spray paint, and then we get Geckomon Spider-Man past the screen.
Yeah, I like that.
The ending...
I popped a bunch through this and looked at all the little details, and it's very fun.
It is. The ending, I like. The issue I have with the ending is, does it feel like it should not be attached to the first episode because there's a lot of stuff that they focus on that is not necessarily relevant yet?
Yeah, it feels like next episode spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, some of that's in the opening too, though.
No, it is, but a lot of that is blink and you miss it in the opening. In the ending, they focus on it a lot.
Yeah. It's like, this child is getting kidnapped and living with a bunch of random cops.
I don't think the opening endings do. I believe the Mad Pulse videos actually have English lyrics using the captioning system, which is, I always like when they do that. Then preview for episode 2, they put it on YouTube and Twitch. So on YouTube, they did it as a vertical YouTube short, which is fine. I would have put up the Twitter one, except the Twitter one seems to be silent. I even downloaded it to figure out if something was wrong with my browser, and it's like, no, that's silent. It's very weird.
Like, this is why you have someone check these things.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know if it's just rendering out wrong on my system, so I'm not willing to say it's the video, although theoretically my system is set up so it almost can't fail during videos. Then we actually get some neat preview images from episode 1 of the chief animation director making some corrections. I really hope they continue to do this. Putting up 4 of these on a Monday was a great way to start the week, I think. They put up the Wolvermon Evolution clip, which multiple people have noted is not actually the clip from the episode. This appears to be the full evolution scene. And then half the people did not notice there was a difference, which I don't remember if I noticed initially before someone said it. And then they show that in Ikebukuro, they have a wall right outside a train station playing the trailer until the 19th. So last time we had an episode, only Hulu was going to stream it. Then they announced Crunchyroll in Europe, along with a few local streamers. Crunchyroll in the US are going to stream it. They start putting up countdown images, characters talking about their actors talking about their characters. They put up a post showing a poster from the Tokyo Fire Department doing a cross promotion with Digimon Beat Break to tell people that walking while using your smartphone is dangerous.
Considering my niece actually fell down a manhole doing that.
Oh, wow.
Dev, I don't mock her pain. I mock the situation.
Yeah, she's right down.
Oh, man. I just, like, fuck. In Japan, streaming is basically being done like it was for 2020 Ghost Game, where they're functionally streaming it everywhere they can as a pickup service. Dev, Chad is asking, is she okay? I don't think you meant like this happened recently. I think you're just telling a story that happened.
No, it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's funny as long as she didn't die. Is she alive, Dev?
She was kind of bruised. Okay. But, you know,
yeah.
It's fine.
So then let's talk about the streaming issues the show had. Now, AR, I don't think you noticed any of this because I think you're already, like, done for the night at that point. Now, a lot of people earlier in the day are messaging me like, you're being a bit negative, Mark, about this. And it's like, no, I'm watching what's happening. Like,
we're being reasonable.
Yeah, so there were two issues. The first was Hulu was not clarifying when it was streaming, which, to be fair, they always said the 5th. We just assumed they meant the 5th Japanese time. They did not. It's going to stream 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Sunday mornings, which is fine now that we know that. So I wake up Saturday. And I see a lot of people very upset. It's like, oh, I guess My Hero Academia's season premiere was like 6 or 7 hours late. Then it was up without subtitles. It wasn't loading properly on some things. And if you remember, Crunchyroll just fired a bunch of people a month or two ago.
Good job, Crunchyroll.
And
not having people to do work.
So what's interesting is I'm refreshing the site throughout the day as I'm doing other stuff. One, the schedule is not populated at all. Like, stuff is appearing after the show appears. Two, almost every show is appearing on the calendar as season one. Like, it has the season name, but no show name. Then finally, we figure out that their plan is 8 p.m. because they had told Anime News Network it would be up at 11 a.m. Eastern, Saturday. That time doesn't make any sense. So, logically, we all went 11 p.m. Eastern. And that was, except it didn't go up properly at first. Then I finally got to load, and it was 240p. Then I got to load, and this is the one that most people saw, is when you hit 2 minutes in the episode right after the opening ends, the episode would just stop. Now, within a few minutes, it all got cleared up. That's fine. The problem is Crunchyroll clearly is fucking imploding.
Crunchyroll's. Yeah, they're it's bad.
Yeah. Like, they clearly do not have the staff to keep things running because they are not hitting numbers and stuff that they very publicly said how they were going to hit super quickly.
Yeah.
So it appears to be execs desperate to do the exec thing of showing they can definitely hit the numbers by cutting as many people as possible.
Yep. And I'm perfectly happy to wake up Sunday morning and watch it on Hulu.
Yeah. So then we have episode 2 later in the week. And then on to Digimon Story Time Stranger came out. Hooray. I was able to get an early key from Bandai so I could go through the game. And AR, you haven't been around, but Dev has. So Dev knows how cartoonishly busy I've been the last few months. So I was basically playing it late at night for an hour or two each night.
Wouldn't it be me? I've just been playing Silk Song the entire time.
Yeah. Oh no. So that's the funny part is first up, fans are very happy. I'd say maybe a little too happy, honestly. I think I gave it a B minus and a few people got upset.
I've only played the demo. I'm waiting for hardware upgrades before I get the whole game.
It's not gonna matter. So here's the thing.
No,
it doesn't matter for a key reason. So the game scales very well. Like, if you have a low-end computer, a high-end computer, the game will run. In most cases, it will run well, and it will look fine. The other issue is... Sorry, go ahead.
I still don't want to run it on my laptop. Yeah, it's just not a fun experience for me.
The game is very unstable. I don't mean unstable as in crashing. I mean, like, the game will stutter. And there isn't necessarily any rhyme or reason to it. Like, I have a 5070, and I had the frame rate tank in some places where nothing was happening. Other people have reported similar. I mean, we're still dealing with that old PS Vita engine. This is very clearly still Cyber Sleuth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as much as they've done to try to keep the world from scaling, like the very tiny loading zones, like you've noticed how small areas are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the engine has problems loading in textures and stuff. Mm-hmm. It just seems to randomly tank weirdly, especially when you get to places like the city a bit later. Woo! The story's fine. The characters I like, except it really feels like they did not want a silent protagonist. Because there's all types of odd scripting things that make less sense with a silent protagonist. My personal favorite is, so you have the Cyborg 009 uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get shunted back into time and you meet people out of order and everything. And someone goes, oh, that outfit is very, you know, people are going to notice you in it. So I put some clothes in your room. So then you go up and it's like, oh, there's clothes there. And it's meant to teach you to use the clothes swapping. So you swap into the outfit. It's like, okay, this is the outfit I'm going to use now because I've been told to change into it, blah, 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 blah. I go back and I talk to a character 10 seconds later. And then someone starts insulting the outfit as if I'm still wearing the uniform.
Oh.
Even though they just had, the scripting sometimes seems out of order and it really feels like your character, they want your character to respond audibly because you will have responses you can choose and you just get the old style miming, but it feels like there's meant to be an actual argument you should hear.
Very Breath of the Wild, yeah.
Yeah. It's very much the Zelda style one, except the Zelda one, they always like write around it.
Yeah, and there's sort of they go into lore reasons for Link to be a silent protagonist.
And Matias brings up Keisuke in Hacker's Memory, where the entire point of Keisuke was he was going to have personality and everything. Like that's why they said you couldn't pick boy girl was and then they did nothing with that because whatever.
Matias
is correct with that.
And even though Keisuke was supposed to be Keisuke was supposed to be a character with a personality, and really the only character was how everyone interacted with him.
Yes, and that's what happens here is that graphics are fine. They're not as much of an upgrade as I would like. They're fine. My main issue is whenever you get close to anything, the textures are often kind of junky.
Yeah, I didn't love the textures.
Especially, one of the big things was they talked about how many attacks they were doing, like proper, you know, movements for. Except when you get zoom ins on them, the characters don't look great. To be fair, after a little bit, I turned up the speed to 5x where they actually skipped the animations because I just got tired of seeing like the textures and all that.
Yeah.
I will say, there's some stuff missing on PC as far as modern features go, but it's overall very impressive that the PC setup appears proper for PC. Like, buttons can be set up for specific things, not just buttons on a gamepad.
That's nice.
Yeah, there's lots of graphics options. It does not have some of the newer high-tech options. It feels... all joking aside, like what we would have gotten if this game came out in 2019. But they actually are good options. They're just missing some of the nice modern stuff. DigiRide, I like. I'm torn about it for one key reason. And this is one of the weird things. So you can press down the stick to make your character run. Did you do that in the demo?
Yeah.
That was in the retail build I had for review. That apparently was not in the release build. That was in a day one patch, which means they did not have that originally, probably because DigiRide was meant to take the place of running, but there's plenty of places where DigiRide does not work. So they seemingly added that in so you had the option to go faster, which I'm not complaining about. That was a big issue with Next Order. Next Order is slow as shit.
Yeah.
And once you added the running, do you notice how many people like hated the game less?
You can see why.
I would say the main issue with Time Stranger, it's not an issue with the structure of the game itself. It's that engine. Like, I would like to see the moment in a Digimon game when the world opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when you get to, I forgot the name of the town, Central Town, it still has the fucking loading zones everywhere.
Ooh.
Like when you see screen caps of it, doesn't it feel like it's like a living, breathing world to a degree? Mm-hmm. And then you walk 5 feet and you get a loading zone. There's too much of that.
That's unfortunate.
I would like to see them drop the old Media Vision engine and do a better engine, because I think you could do much more with it at this point. Now, to be fair, we have better models and everything now, so they don't need to redo all those. The other thing that for the next game they really need to fix is the sound effects just suck. The more I hear them, the more it just does not work.
So they have not improved from the
No. The sound effects are horrid. The one thing that bothers me, but it's weird, I actually think like the music works really well in the game. It feels like that's the part that most people seem to dislike. It's a bit more instrumental scenery type music. I actually really like it.
Fine. I didn't have an issue with the music.
People seem to really not like the one that when you're in the building in the demo, where it kind of becomes like an industrial type thing. I thought that was neat and like worked well.
Keeping people's tastes.
Yeah.
Now, the engine stuff aside, not having the DigiLab has improved a lot. Although that has shown some flaws in what they've kept. Like at this point, it seems like people really fucking hate that farm at this point. Because there's no reason to go there to do stuff like you did in the DigiLab. This is the actual issue. There's like no accessibility features for if like, and so you don't have the blue tunnels anymore, but the outer dungeons are like a multicolored pastel neon like hellscape. You need some accessibility stuff to like turn that down. That's going to like really bother people. I would say the main plus here is it is Cyber Sleuth with so much quality of life, you can see the beginnings of an actual great game. I don't think it's great yet. I think it's good to find based on how much you care about Digimon, but you can see them getting to a great game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the next step in the story series, and they're gradually building to, like, eventually they're going to get there.
Eventually.
But in the meantime, this will tide us over.
I don't want to see this fucking engine again, though. Unless it's like, a small spin-off game. I will accept the engine one more time there. Throw it out. It clearly does not handle this shit well. One thing I like is I wish I didn't call them levels, but they aren't really worlds. They're all like very small levels.
Zones?
Yeah. Each has a not always detailed, unique gameplay mechanic, like the Palmon swing. It's literally just press a button and you swing across, but you don't do anything to do it.
Yeah.
I like those. Now, the outer dungeons. So, have you guys seen the controversy with these? So the outer dungeons are basically like focus dungeons, and sometimes they have alternate gameplay, like every JRPG has to have a shitty horse racing minigame or chicken racing minigame. So you ride Pekmon.
Sure.
The control. Honestly, I like it. I think it's shit, the controls, but I like it. It very much reminds me of those old PS1 racing minigames.
Yeah.
So the actual issue with the outer dungeons is before you find out these exist, you get to the in-between theater, which is where Mirai is. And Mirai keeps a list of outer dungeons for you to access. And it's like, oh, I don't know what an outer dungeon is, but I'll look at it. There's a list of three of them with a shopping cart next to each one.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Wait, now.
She participating in capitalism now? Wait,
no, it gets better. It gets better or worse. So in a JRPG, you don't necessarily need to grind in most JRPGs. You play, and generally speaking, you'll be fine. Digimon Story, you have to grind. There is no choice. The very way leveling up and down works. So the three dungeons, actually, wait, I'm going to pull these up so I get this detail right. 1 second. Because, oh, you are...
What horrible hellscape.
Oh, you won't actually believe me. Okay, it's loading. Where?
I know, my standards are really low.
Oh, no, this one's... Okay, ready? For $8, you can buy three dungeons. Are you ready for what they're called? You'll figure... The Hall of EXP, the Hall of Gold, the Hall of Materials.
Mm.
You are paying $8 to make grinding easier. Now,
literal pay to win.
Now, here's the thing. I have not done these dungeons. I bought them because I'm going to update my review. But I'm going to link this here and in the chat. In the DLC purchase, they show one of the dungeons. Is this the entire dungeon? I think this is the I think this is the money one. Is it really just like a three level thing with just enemies in a row?
This just looks like a little tiny clip of something in Super Mario Sunshine.
Yes,
it's a Mario Odyssey bonus level.
Yes, it is an easy grinder dungeon. Okay, yeah. Okay, chat's bringing up another controversy that's popping up is the console actually being 30 FPS after people getting confused about it. So it's definitely 30 FPS, and I feel like the way performance jumps around on PC tells us why it's 30 FPS. It's the engine can do better. The problem is it gets so wonky. When it's 30 FPS, it's slightly less noticeable when it tanks, and people have confirmed it does tank even on PS5 Pro at 30 FPS. And chat's confirming that, yes, the dungeons are just, here's a room where you get whatever. Here's a room where you get whatever. You basically hit a button and you get stuff. So, yeah. In fact, that dungeon upset Humulo so much that when he saw it, he played for a couple hours and then he returned the game. And he basically said, and I checked with him if I could say all this just so it didn't, you know, throw someone under the bus. Basically went, I'm not paying for the game until it's on sale when they don't respect my money or my time. Because you can't get away in Digimon Story without grinding to some degree. You just can't. Yeah, it's like Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth. I did not have to grind at all. If I just beat up anyone I saw, I was always fine. You really have to grind in Digimon Story for it to work. That is the one thing that I will... Like, the engine stuff, I can understand. Like, they tried to upgrade the engine, it didn't work, whatever. I get it. They need to get rid of it. Yeah. I can understand even with all the issues. This is actually kind of nasty.
Bad money grab.
No, and like I said, when I beat the game, I'm going to do that dungeon so that when I update my review, I can comment on it. I very much get the feeling, especially based on chat, that there's like fucking nothing there. It is literally just a grinder dungeon. So that is a
and this
weird...
is on top of like the base cost of the game.
Well, no, remember the base cost is 70, which is high. Which that is a premium
high.
Here's the thing: it is a premium price game, and regardless of how much you like Digimon or not, it is not a premium game. And what I mean is the graphics aren't there, the gameplay isn't there. It's fun enough for what it is. It's not $70, and that's on top of deluxe with season packs 100 and the fancy versions 120. And also, a week before release, when they announced the anime pack, you know how much it ended up being, Dev?
Guessing 30?
$20. So if you don't...
That is an entire whole-ass Team Cherry game. That is the cost of Silk Song.
So if you don't like the music, you can replace any song with music from the anime. You get two songs from every anime except Atmon, which is hilarious. I love Atmon, but it...
That's a licensing thing.
I'm sure. Because here's the thing. They could put it in the Ultimate Edition, but that means they're paying the license for every copy of Ultimate. Here, they're only paying it for the people who want it. No,
paying it for the people who want it. Yeah.
But when you're already charging $120 for the Ultimate Edition and it's not, then it just pisses people off.
Here's what you do. You go into settings, you turn the background music off, and then you just turn on your music player of choice.
So here's the thing. The one thing I will say is you can basically swap out most songs for any other song. Like, there's a whole menu for it. The thing about the menu that pisses me off when I went to check is, when I was playing for review, the anime DLC was not up yet. Guess what the first songs listed are for everything? The 18 anime songs. Okay. So the entire first, you have to scroll down to find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So game charted quite high on Steam. I believe before the weekend, it ended up hitting 84,000 in-game at a time, which is very high. There's a few questions to wait to see what this means, because I don't think a lot of people who wanted the game have the new consoles. So I'm curious to see. Yeah. I think part of everything being sky high on PC is I think a lot of people just do not have PS5s or Xbox Series X's and S's. It's still doing very well. I need to wait to see, because remember, at first it appeared Survive was doing well. And then they won't talk about Survive, except make noise if you want more. It's like, that doesn't mean
good.
So game charting high. Humble keys have not shown up yet. Bandai has been having horrible issues sending keys to Humble for weeks now. In fact, I didn't get a Pac-Man key like 2 weeks ago until like a week later.
Damn.
So whatever, I don't know. I know a few people have refunded. If someone's still waiting for Humble key, let us know when you get it, please, because I would like to let people know to check their emails and everything, but I'm not dealing with that. They did English live stream, which they archived for pre-launch. They're doing a contest in Japan, Japanese live stream with the archive. They did various launch arts, which all gorgeous. The English live stream had Christina V. They showed off the game. They showed off Beat Break. They did some giveaways. I think this was the first time we knew Christina V. was Eiji Oban. I thought it was her from The Voice in early trailers, though. And I think most people had the same thought who know what she sounds like.
Yeah, she has a very distinctive voice. And it's everywhere.
Yeah,
so.
We got a launch trailer. I will give Bandai credit.
Everyone remembers her as Mako.
I'm sure it came up in the live stream. I just did not have the time to watch. I will give Bandai credit. They point out that, you know, if you get the game early, there's a day one patch. And the day one patch definitely tells you what state the game was in. So ignoring stuff like bug patches. Oh, no, like... the main character being able to dash was one of the things listed. You can't do that without the day one patch. And more importantly, you can't import your save without it. So that was something they added late. That, like, I would not normally post generic patch notes. I did that one because it's like, yes.
Because that was something they advertised with the demo.
Yeah. So the demo was later than... Now, here's the thing. It makes sense when you remember they're going to manufacture these discs weeks ago. Possibly before the demo ever existed. Then, during the Japanese live stream, they announced we will get an anime short called Digimon Story Time Stranger Prelude, which will be an anime short about Inori, and they showed off a single shot of it. So we will see what that is and when it shows up. We got more of that launch art. I love the one that's from Ukemo Ede, who was the artist for Digimon Survive's characters. So we get to see Inori and Eijiomon in his style. Which is weird because he does it a bit more detailed than Survive, so it still doesn't fit in the style of Survive, because I was kind of hoping that when I saw his name. Then, after the game launched, we got a live-action trailer in the U.S.
That I did not watch yet.
It's done as a mock news report.
Oh, no.
I recommend it. Yes, it is as finger on the pulse as you would expect. Early in the week before the game came out, we did a contest to win the game and a copy of Cyber Sleuth. And then later, Vandy bought cheap keys for Cyber Sleuth, Digimon Survive, and next order to add more keys to the prize. We put up the winners. Some good writing, some good art. I feel like the one that everyone's like, what is the Alvin and the Chipmunk one? Is the one everyone really wants to know about.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah, when there was only two keys, that was the one that I was like, I don't think this is the winner, but this is definitely going to be the runner-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when that was done, we were able to do another contest, which is going to be one copy of the game on Steam, PlayStation 5, and Xbox. Each will be the Ultimate Edition, and that will close Friday at midnight. So do check the site for what you have to do to enter, and enter, you get the full one. Maria says he thinks the game came out as good as it did with the problems they had in development as a miracle. They haven't really specified problems. Most of the things they've specified as problems is more that it appears they were not willing to drop the engine.
We just assume there were problems because it's a Digimon game.
Yeah. Like, even stuff that you might think are problems may not be, like, Habu not being there anymore. I'm not clear that's a bad thing. He tended to overpromise, and honestly, it felt like he was too conservative in what he was willing to do for a franchise like Digimon. Like, people going...
Also, when he was talking about Survivor, it's like, you might not like the games. Like, you're supposed to be the fucking hype man, dude.
Not, yeah.
Well, like, the way I think of it is like, people talk about him at that Digimon Con being like, yeah, we don't have any money. That's not what he said. He was pitching ideas, and they went, we're not giving you money for this. And the pitches he told us were all terrible ideas. Like,
yeah.
It was like, we should remake the Ryo games. Like, those games sold 250K on a failed system that no one liked. And their gameplay is a subpar version of Digimon Survive, which was not out, but we had seen it. Everything like he told us that like he'd pitched were bad ideas.
So just give us a PowerPoint presentation.
In fact, if we take him at his word, the reason we do not have the original Digimon world on modern stuff is because of him.
I'm going to hunt him down.
If you remember, he actually told us that Bandai is aware people want the old Digimon games. The holdup was him deciding what was the best way to do the first one, which was, do we just emulate and release it? Do we upgrade the original game, you know, add some new stuff, or do we fully remake it? And this is something he actually told us, like, the holdup was him deciding what was the best step. And I assume also that Bandai wanted some games completed first, because at that point we had, like, two or three games waiting. Then moving on from Time Stranger... Liberator had battle coverage against Arisa, which is based on the last two chapters. Nothing much to say about these. I like having them. I do not read them because I read the chapter.
It'd be more interesting if I played the card game.
And then anniversary time. So 9th anniversary of Atmon. It does not feel like next year will be 10 years.
Jesus. God.
Next year will be the... Thursday was the 4th anniversary of Ghost Game. It will be 5 years old next year.
Time is a fucking illusion.
And that is the other issue.
But that's cheating saying it'll be 5 next.
No, I know. Okay, here's why that's relevant, though. Ghost Game at this point is 4 years. It really feels like in Time Stranger's development, they should have kept some slots open for newer Digimon. Like, Gamamon is not a new character anymore.
Yeah.
It is very, very shitty that he's not in the game.
Yeah.
Like, he is not a new character at this point.
Oh, boy.
Then, the 25th anniversary...
I did want to say one thing about Digimon Ghost Game. It only feels like 4 years because it... 4 years feels like it's too long because Ghost Game ran too damn long.
That's true.
That's why it feels like then, it's... like, because it ran for like a year and a half. Okay.
It's time for the ultimate anniversary. It's the 25th anniversary of Digimon the movie.
Greatest anniversary there ever was.
And the 5th anniversary... of the home video release of Kizuna in English after the COVID delays.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I still love it because of those delays that ended up being the same fucking day. And then, got a lot of messages from people today, and messages popped in chat from people who saw it in theaters 25 years ago. I'm just glad I do not need
to... I hope they're talking about Digimon the movie. They're talking about Kizuna. Like, how the hell did you pull that off?
To be fair, a few countries did end up showing it because of delayed stuff. Like, I think Australia had some screenings.
Yeah, that's right. Australia did do a couple.
I'm very happy the movie's on Blu-ray, and I do not need to proof that any further. Trying to proof re-editing a movie to match an edit from 25 years ago is hell.
Appreciate your suffering.
And then, hey, the fans in the UK get something this time. They get a pop-up shop. In fact, they get two of them, and they're open now. A Digimon pop-up shop event at both Bandai Namco Cross stores. They're in Camden Market and Birmingham. Multiple UKers were at first like, we're like, oh, good, the US gets a Digimon pop-up shop. They're like, it says Camden Market in Birmingham. It's the UK. We get something. So this will be...
Wait for Fandy to listen to this and comment on how you pronounce Birmingham.
I don't care. She'll probably be mad. I'm still calling her Vandy. She likes when she prefers to be called Allison.
Oh.
Well. I say it by habit because I'm so used to that username.
Like, people are only their icons to me, okay?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happens. I see the icon, it's like, that's Mandy.
People don't have real names here.
Look, I was raised with actual stranger danger, okay? You don't tell your name to anyone.
One moment, why does OBS say disconnected and YouTube says it has been connected the entire time?
Because OBS is a little bitch.
People are commenting on what we're saying. Sometimes positive, even.
No, they are. And here's the thing. YouTube's panel does not show any disconnect at all. But OBS was like, it's disconnecting. It's reconnecting. It's disconnecting. It's reconnecting. And YouTube does not say anything. So I'm assuming we're still there. Especially since chat is not saying we're disconnected.
We're fine.
Yeah. So Crossdoors, we have some images of that later because people have sent us images already because it's already there. And then, God bless it, Digimon Adventure collaboration with mobile game Free Fire, which when I saw this, the first thing I said was, what is Free Fire? And I had to go look it up.
It's shitpost.
Yeah, and here's the thing. At first, like, when people are like, new mobile game. Apparently this is like a 10-year-old game, which I guess is like a Fortnite ripoff, is what it appears
to be.
You
know what? I don't even know what the hell Fortnite even looks like.
Okay, did you ever... Did you ever play Unreal Tournament?
No.
It is basically Unreal Tournament, but very cartoony and with building. I think most people don't do the building one anymore.
They incorporate the building into their game. They're regular, like, Battle Royale gaming.
No, I thought now the building was like a secondary mode or something.
I mean, it could be, I guess. I don't know. I'm just going off of what my kid plays.
So the teaser has silhouettes of Agumon and Gabumon showing the DGA crest tag. People like the teaser. I've never heard of this game.
Me either.
It's been around long enough, it apparently has an audience. And I saw at least one mention that apparently an event that in 2019 had like 5 million viewers or something. That feels inflated to me. But I can't comment because I don't really know. And then, time to take a sip of a beverage because it is everyone's favorite topic, Cardopalooza.
A lot of tamer cards this time. That's fun.
Yeah, so first up, Faye and her parallel card.
Yes.
What's weird is I actually really like both. A lot of people did not like the parallel art.
Just don't like her staring at them directly.
I think the normal one's better here, though, honestly.
The pose is a little cleaner.
Tiger Vespamon, ace, and a parallel card. I feel like I like the normal one because the coloring, and it also matched the lower evolutions we saw a few weeks ago.
Yes. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I love everything this particular artist does. I just love the kind of day glow sort of colors.
Yeah, and they always put them on Digimon where it fits their style. It's not like where, like, Koki sometimes is drawing Digimon that does not fit their style. This always, like, fits. Then we get parallel alt art cards for Makiko Date and Matayoshi.
Matayoshi getting a card. I love that.
Do you like how his card's drawn like pseudo noirish?
That works. That's his whole thing.
It does. It's just great. Then special parallel. Oh, so we get Takumi. I love it. Him with the starters. It's great.
Yes, I love like the photograph of the card because the textures are so cool. No, yeah,
they didn't do this the first few times they did special cards, and it feels like it's necessary because the texturing and the light effects really, like, even the ground on this one looks so neat with the light effects where you get the little steps.
Yes.
Then
so fucking good.
Then a special card for Keisuke and the starters from Hacker's Memory. What's weird is I don't have much to say about this one, but it's a cool card. Natsuman's just happy to be in a card.
Right.
Then
I like how the reflection on the foil, Tentomon just looks possessed.
Then Chitose and Ryuji get cards. I like how Chitose is posing for the camera, and Ryuji is really posing for the camera.
Ryuji's a thirst trap.
Now, I will say, I like both of these. They are not as good as some of the ones we've seen so far, though. Just because those ones were so good.
No.
Erica gets a really nice one. A bit basic, though, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, she had so much cool scenery and stuff around her at times that this feels a bit basic. I don't hate it. It's just basic. And then Hudimon. So the parallel alt art one's nice, but it's nice, but it's fine. The special one's so good. Where
it's just really nice.
Where it's Hudimon, but we get the gold foil and the holo foil.
Like,
look at the holo effect on the metallic reflections on the green and yellow at the bottom.
It's so fuck pretty.
I know, then Mastimon gets a special parallel card.
Sparkly cardboard, my beloved.
I really like it. It does not. It's not as good as Hudimon after seeing that one, though.
Yeah, no.
And then the box toppers for this one are, we get the three Hacker's Memory starters, but as open frames. We get Wormmon as open frame. Those four make sense for Hacker's Memory. This is a Hacker's Memory set. Ghostmon gets an open frame for some reason. To be fair, me and Dev did gush over this art last week.
He's like, oh shit, it's dead body.
But like, it does not like belong here. And then we get a token for Otho, Rene, and Por.
Not a card I was expecting.
No, especially since it's just a token. But still, it's neat to get. I love the silhouette Jessmon. Still very strange, though. But I will take any token card that does something different. Like, I think the first token card we ever got, I think it was exactly the same as a Diaboromon card in the same deck. They just washed it out, I think.
Huh.
Then card game, it's Eliason's going to show up at New York Comic Con. Demo. Hey. In the UK, at the pop-up shop, they're going to have Time Stranger tutorial deck to teach people the game, and they get to keep the deck. I believe it's a half deck. And today, for no apparent reason, the Eliason account was like, hey, if you have the beta on your phone, you might want to delete that because it will cause problems whenever the game happens to come out. No statement past that, but it's definitely suggestive.
Yeah.
And moving on from cards, the Bandai Metal build, which is like a Shogakukan-style action figure metal line, is doing a new series called EX Project, and they showed off a range of characters, and one of the first ones will be Omegamon. That is a really fucking cool-looking figure. I don't want to know what the price is going to be.
It's going to be ouch.
It's a bit stylized. I like people being confused when they see the rest of the initial lineup. People be like, okay.
Hatsune Miku in there.
Yeah, Hatsune Miku, and she does not look very like armor or mech-ish. It's like, okay, Seiya makes sense for Japan.
I'd be concerned if she did.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, Kamen Rider 01, it's a few years old, but it makes sense to get something now because, you know, a bit stylized.
Yeah.
That'll make sense. Omegamon makes sense for the first Digimon figure for a new line. And that's Hatsune Miku, and she has a jacket. Okay? I'm not complaining. It's going to sell out. It's just a bit weird.
Yeah.
She looks so good.
Now, I don't remember if you've ever been on the show when we've talked about these, AR. Bandai Shanghai has released a new line of model kits called Plabako, which are SD. They come blind box, but with a plastic shell, which can act as a case. And Wave 1 came out a while ago, and they're only like $10 each. Wave 2... Metal Greymon, Wear Gurumon, Magnemon, Imperial Dramon, Fighter Mode.
So cute!
Yeah.
I think I have seen these before.
Okay. Each gets an alternate, which we see for the Adventure Digimon will be clear. Last time there were two metallic ones. Now, to me, in the photo, there's definitely not metallic on the alternate ones, so I assume these are just early ones.
I can't tell.
And last time they painted War Greymon black to Black War Greymon for the Chase figure.
Fun.
So I'm trying to decide what they do here. I feel like the most obvious one would be Wear Gurumon or Metal Gurumon.
Yeah, either blue or for the Metal Greymon.
I feel like blue for Metal Greymon makes the most sense, because then you can just put O2 branding on the Chase one, which is what they did last time. Yeah, now what's weird was, and I've written this because I was under the impression these are like easy to assemble SD ones. Someone messaged me in the last week going, no, these are actually as hard as normal model kits. Like, these are not actually easy to do. Like, you look at these, and if someone tells you they're easy, you really believe it, because there's nothing, it does not look that complicated. Someone said
when someone tells me they're complicated, I can look at it and go, I can actually kind of see that.
The way you know,
being told that.
The way you know.
It's like the single foot gets disconnected or each toe gets disconnected.
Well, it makes more sense when you look at them and you notice you are not seeing a lot of obvious seams.
Yeah.
But still, $10 if you can get a hold of them, great. Because I'm trying to remember if Big Bad Toy Store or some other easy importer had them. I don't remember. And then, pop-up shop time. Anna Berth got their first wave of Beatbreak merchandise on October 5th. Now that's how you do synergy. The day the show premieres, it will be there October 13th for online buyers. Acrylics, you get the normal acrylic stands, can badges, t-shirt, clear felt pouch, and LED acrylic stands, which, do these look cheap to you?
Absolutely, yes. These look like something that I'd find something fancier at Five Below.
Okay, I looked and I'm like, I don't think I'm being cynical, but these look like the cheapy, cheap ones. Like, do you remember before Riot stuff became Crunchyroll Store, when they just had a bunch of acrylic wall art and stuff for shows?
Thankfully, no.
Yeah.
And then, so, AR, when you were on a couple months ago, do you remember we talked, it was like the art pop-up store, and they had the drinks with the labels? Mm-hmm. They're doing more of those. They're going to be at over 100 Suntory vending machines starting in about a day and a half in Japan. They will all be oolong tea. The label peels off for a sticker, and at random, you will win an acrylic keychain that looks like the can with the label. I actually love stupid shit like this, honestly. The labels look really nice. I would like to see what these look like in person. The renders look a little too nice, honestly.
Yeah, I can't expect a label on a soda can to be
Now here's the neat thing. If you look at the picture at the top right, they show a render of the acrylic keychain. I need to see what those actually look like. I can't imagine they look that cool. They look neat to me. Each can is going to be 800 yen. That is a lot for oolong tea.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's paying for the sticker.
Yeah. Hmm? Several times, and then,
God bless them, they announced the first collaboration event for Beat Break. It's going to be at Round 1. Round 1 is an amusement center chain, like in Japan, where like arcade games, bowling, pool, karaoke, larger locations have batting cages. I think I saw someone say that some bigger ones have climbing walls. So they showed off art where you can see them doing karaoke, bowling, Gekkoman's trying to eat a pin. You can see them doing pool. Bowl. And I assume the plush toys are like crane games, I assume.
Like at least a solid third of my local-ish Round 1 is crane games.
Okay, I heard someone say they were in the U.S. I have not seen one, so they actually... Okay, I heard someone say they expanded to the U.S. years ago. Okay. So then you actually know what this is.
Yes.
Did I describe it accurately?
Very. And also, they usually also have they can host parties there. Sometimes there's like private rooms you can rent.
Okay, good.
They've also got like pool tables.
No. We see pool in the image.
Kyo's playing pool.
Yeah.
Kyo's playing pool.
And Rashomon's holding pool balls.
I'm trying to figure out where Pristimon's tambourine comes from. That's like karaoke, yes. Tambourine, I'm not so sure.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like Reina singing and Pristimon's like dancing along, and they give her because having her with the mic would look weird with two of them.
It's not how karaoke works, but okay.
It's how it works in anime. How often in anime have you seen someone do karaoke and someone else will start to dance and like have an instrument or some weird bullshit? That definitely happens.
I brought a tambourine.
Contraband.
Exactly. So the interesting thing about this is it starts October 22nd and it runs until January 18th.
Dang.
That is a 3-month collaboration. We will say thumbs up for that. Bless them. AR, we're kidnapping you on this when this starts, because it has to be some weird bullshit we could talk about.
I wonder if any of that promotional material will come to the U.S. I have seen some.
We will see. Mm-hmm. It feels like a weird one. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because also, we have not gotten a new collaboration. The spa place was new. That was a different spa place than the one that happened in Try. And then, hey, poll results. The favorite Armor Evolution from the Digimental Digi-Egg of Kindness, it's Prairiemon.
That's a really weak field.
Yeah, really weak field, which is why, and they still barely won, even with what is clearly stacked votes. My favorite part of these are when people try to then go, how is it Prairiemon? Like, they're trying to debate it as if it was a real vote.
Surprise, Opossumon is so low.
Yeah, Opossumon is surprisingly low, but...
See, I feel, here's the thing, if you get rid of the bump for Prairiemon, Opossumon's third and tied for second. I feel like that actually is not that off. Chameleomon has clearly been bumped also, though. No one gives a shit about Chameleomon.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't think
too many people give a shit about any of these. So.
People like Poochimon and Opossumon. Those are the only ones people care about here. And that's even still questionable. And then weekend bets. So first up, we get reference book updates. We get Pristimon and Trotmon, Rossumon and Wolvermon. I'm not sure Wolvermon does it for me in the reference book art either, honestly. Where the design just feels weird to me for some reason.
Gives me vibes kind of like, what the hell is it? Little Hedgehog Bastard from the mobile game.
Harrismon?
Harrismon. Yes, it gives me Harrismon vibes.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
I feel like for the reference book art, the best one is probably Trotmon.
Yeah. I love yeah.
I like how you get just the begin, just the part of a grin.
He's ghoster so shit up.
And then, as Maria showed off them building the model kit on Twitter for Kaiser Greymon, I love how often as Maria pops up doing stuff. I love it, honestly. And then user Matt sent us photos from the UK pop-up shop. Some of the displays had beat break stuff. He said they didn't have time stranger stuff out, but they said they're expecting it shortly. They had the lookup figures. They're giving out stickers, postcards, and Ageomon cards for if you spent £15. Oh. Also, I've yet to see that new Digimon logo used in a way that does not make it look ugly.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
Yeah, when I saw it at the beginning of Beeping, I'm like, oh, they really want to use this fucking logo, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Then... muted myself to cough. Toei Museum put up various Beat Break posters to celebrate the anime going. And then Chiba from Digimon Card Battle. In the past, he's mentioned how often he goes by the Bandai head office. The corner display is Digimon themed for Beat Break and Time Stranger coming out. Again, that logo and lots of current and upcoming products. I love the Terrymon Assistant plush. Yeah. Let's see. After that. The card game art features them having a little fun when Shoto finds out how ruthless Arisa was when she taught Violet the card game. I love Arisa's grin here. The way this is great. Usagi Bochi posted a bunch of sketches. The main one relevant is the first one where he realized Time Stranger was coming out a day later on PC than the console, so he had to wait a day. And then they also did art of Violet, Terrymon, Zafagamon. All nice, but does not beat that first one. Then we get October art from Digimon Web, which is... So it's interesting. Does it feel like Grap Leomon was art they had rather than art that fits?
I
don't...
Because the message is all about how, like, the weather, sports season, like, Grap Leomon's training diligently every day. It's like, I think they did not have art ready and they went with this.
Yeah.
It's not really October themed. Then from Time Stranger, put them up again just so people could see the little lead up art they did, which was a number of Digimon artists. They all look so good. Like, really good.
I really love, like, poor Ageomon being crushed.
That's not these. The Ageomon being crushed. That one will be up in a moment. Then the one of the artists who did the Time Stranger. God, I always forget the name of the fucking painting.
Creation of Adam.
Yes, I always forget the name. They put up, you know, saying they were in charge of it. They put up what I think is the best version of it we've seen so far. And then the director of the 2D animation bit from early in Time Stranger showed off some screenshots of it and listed him, the various staff that worked on it.
Fun.
Two animators for the whole thing.
Oh.
Damn.
Yeah. And someone else did all the background art. And logo and newspaper design were someone else. But yeah, those were really neat. Then, art from Kariki Hajime, who did the Digimon Seekers for Digimon Comics, both of those. So first, they did Digimon Beat Break, which Tomorrow and Gekkoman, really good art.
I love the colors on this. Yeah.
Then the Time Stranger one, Dev loves, which is Inori hugging Agumon. And Agumon's very uncomfortable. I will say the best part about this one is the person, like the personality on his face is great. Like, it's just done excellently. And then, bless me, because remember, at this point, it's probably 11 or so at night, and I'm still going. I'm like, every bit of art from someone who actually worked on the show that I could find. So first up, one second, where is that one? First up is Megumi Han, who drew Gekkoman sleeping.
That's how I feel right now.
Yeah. Then series director Hiroaki Miyamoto drew Tomorrow and Gekkoman. He noted it was producer approved this drawing.
Very menacing.
Watto 0913 did some work on the OP, posted art of Tomorrow and Gekkoman. I love that little Gekkoman on the shoulder.
He's giving extreme Sergeant Frog vibes, like even more so than usual.
Arc 0115 said it honored to work on episode one. They drew like foreboding image of Tomorrow and his brother. They said he handled the sequence when his brother woke him up.
In pieces.
The official Digimon TV account posted Gekkoman grinning.
Very manic.
Yeah,
I trust
him.
Momoshio Momo did part of the OP and the very dynamic art of Tomorrow and Gekkoman. I love the tongue on this one.
Yeah.
They note they did not work on the actual episodes, so they're looking forward to it as a fan. Akimini Aki is doing animation inspection on the show, starting with episode 3. They did that nice drawing of Tomorrow taking off his glasses. Megumi Han jumped back with a photo. When they were recording episode 1, the staff brought out a cake with the key art on it.
Oh.
And she notes she thought the strawberry and cream puff were decorated to look like Digimon, is what she thinks. I see what she means. I think that's just cute decoration, though.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, do you ever go to like a bakery and they have cupcakes decorated to look like the Muppet?
Yeah, I will say, cream puff could very much be a baby one level Digimon.
It's gonna be a dead one because I'm going to eat it.
Takahiro Kojima, who's the character designer, drew Tomorrow and his brother. Plus, the hand-drawn logo.
Yeah.
And the stylized egg. And did you, long string of numbers, worked as an illustrator on it, drew Tomorrow and Gekkoman. This is a really good one. Really good one. And then Beat Break social art, which they put up before the show aired. I love it. It's so good.
This is the best Murasamemon has actually looked.
I don't know. I like the image. It's good. And then time for questions so everyone in chat can send yours in. Going to the ones that were sent in ahead of time. Diego said, after reading the With the Old Time Stranger review, they wondered if we recommend Time Stranger first or the Cyber Sleuth collection, which is often on sale for single-digit price. So this type of question has come up a lot. And I've generally given the same answer, which is, first, I'm asking, like, what are you looking for? What is your, like, entertainment budget? Like, if you have $70 to spend on games for the rest of the year, and they're, like, getting stuff on sale may have more value than getting the game now, because if you wait 6 months, you can probably get it for 30 or 40.
Yeah, and if you haven't played the Digimon Story series, Cyber Sleuth is a good Digimon game in its own right, and, you know, kind of get you used to some of the
stuff
you're going to encounter in Time Stranger.
If you play Time Stranger,
if you don't like Cyber Sleuth, you're probably not going to like Time Stranger.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Also true.
Well, in the case of Diego, I assume he probably knows if he likes it or not. I think the question more is I really wonder if people can go back to it, though. The quality of life stuff in Time Stranger is so big.
But that's why I think you should start with Cyber Sleuth.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, especially, right. like here's the thing. I don't know if it's still on sale right now. Do you know what the game was on sale for a few days ago? $460.
That was a fall sale, so, yeah.
Fanatical, Green Man Gaming, various well-known PC stores had it for under $5.
Yeah, like the QOL stuff, you are, like, get used to being without it first and then enjoy what Time Stranger fixes.
Now, that being said,
because, like, there's definitely annoying, a lot of annoying bits in Cyber Sleuth.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. If money's not an issue and time isn't an issue and you want to play the new game while people are playing the new game, that's perfectly fine. It's a great choice. We're just saying, think about what your options are. There's nothing wrong with going, hey, I will get it once on, maybe it'll be on sale, the Christmas sale. I doubt it, but it might. And I can buy two games right now for $5. And here's the thing. If you have to delay and wait, you know, let's say there is no sale for Christmas sale. Hey, next order in Survival probably be on sale. You can try some other Digimon games if you're not familiar with them. That's what we're saying.
Or you could just buy Silk Song and just be happy.
Let's see. Did we name... Did we name your Digimon in Time Chaser? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, is Silk Song a separate game, or do you need Hollow Knight with that?
It's a separate game.
It's a completely separate game.
Oh my god. Wow. That's amazing.
I've spent like 40 hours on it.
I saw a few people complain about the price. Like, it's got up by 33%. Like, motherfuckers, I don't play Hollow Knight. The original game is 15. The sequel's 20. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So this game is huge. It is utterly insane.
I know it's huge by like how much you've been playing it, Dev. Like, and you're clearly loving every moment of it.
Yes, I'm suffering and it's glorious.
Anyway, question.
Yeah, let's see. Then someone said, "What type of did what
Ramon.
Type?" Of,
well, wait, Ramon had his. You had Ramon's question first. Did you name your?
Oh yeah, I lost track of that talk. I'll be honest, I did not even check to see if you could do that. Like, in my head, I know you can, but, like, I have not even gone into the menu that you do that from, wherever it is.
I tend not to.
Yeah, I just didn't think about it, honestly, until he said that it honestly did not even, like, occur to me that, oh, yeah, that is a thing in these games. Then, what type of Digimon game would you like to see next or expect to see World Survive something else? I know what they should do. I don't think they will. They should do another Survive, but they really probably should dump the visual novel, which it feels like a lot of people didn't like.
Well, I was going to say they should dump the SRPG element and just do the visual novel.
No, because people...
I'd say so out from the onset.
Make a Digimon dating sim. Let us date
the obvious. Yeah, that's the obvious answer. Yeah, survive, but with dateable.
If you really want to know, like... a real guess. It's a cynical guess. But like, so regardless of anything else, Time Stranger is definitely not tanking. Even if we have some questions about how it's doing because of console stuff, it's definitely...
Remember, this is the question of what you want to...
I know.
You'd like to see that.
No, okay. It also said expect.
Well, I went like first.
Okay, what I would like
to
see...
We're in like right now. You'd like to see Doki Doki Digimon Academy.
I would like to see... some ports, not necessarily of World first, because I think that's a horrible follow-up for Time Stranger. I think let's go ahead and figure out how to get redigitized on console. Let's get the adventure game on console. The story stuff that you can that will follow up audience-wise, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you ready for? Well, first you guys answer, then I will give the cynical real-world answer.
I wanted redigitize and decode ports to the. PC or Switch.
Yeah.
AR?
Oh, no, I'm serious. Like, just give me visual novels. I'm happy with that.
Okay, are you ready for my real answer?
Yeah.
They've upgraded the engine. It's not... The game's doing... Worst case scenario, the game's doing fine only on PC and not doing much elsewhere. So it's still doing good. You would want to capitalize on that, correct? You can't capitalize if you make an entirely new game. Cyber Sleuth Remastered. You do it in the upgraded engine with the new graphics and everything.
Mm.
You do that in Hacker's Memory, and you charge $60 for it. Let's see.
My honest answer is what I wish they would do is between these big story games is I wish they would release like the smaller games like Survive. Just
I mean,
make them to set the expectations appropriately and not extend and not delay and delay and delay like they did with
it
Survive.
It is like that. Right. Like remember, that's what Survive was supposed to be. Frankly,
but it wasn't.
That's what they told us Hacker's Memory is supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just do that. But
I mean, here's the thing: at this point, they pretend Hacker's Memory isn't a game.
It's just kind of integrated now with Cyber Sleuth.
No, but I mean, like, even in promotional stuff, one, we don't get Hacker's Memory sales, and they even say the last Digimon story game was Cyber Sleuth. They treat Hacker's Memory as if it was like a DLC expansion pack when it wasn't. It was a game.
Yeah.
It's more convenient to pretend like it wasn't for marketing purposes, so they actually pretend it does not exist as a full game. Someone said what?
It's hard to play as it's hard to play as its own game, granted. Yeah. Like you could, but if you're not following along with what's going on with Cyber Sleuth, it's a weird.
Then in chat we've asked what new type of forms of digital would like to see in various media. I don't really we've already seen different ones at this point, so I don't know.
I stand by what I said earlier that if you're gonna have two different digital worlds, have them in the same universe playing off of each other with some weird dynamic that the characters have to resolve.
Look, like, I can't comment
the distinction between these two worlds.
For spoiler reasons, I can't comment on that.
Oh, is that a thing? Okay.
I'm not commenting. I'm just saying that at some point you will definitely see something regarding such somewhere. I'm not saying where. But you will definitely get something.
When I get around to buying Time Stranger, got it.
Stop playing Silk Song.
Okay, here's a good one. Someone said in, what is the best way to have tortilla chips? Salsa.
I like tortilla chips.
I don't want my answer, because I actually just eat them plain. I demand a lot of spice on them, but I don't particularly like dipping chips. I know.
I don't know. Okay, Ramon says, Mark, you did say to not have the current engine anymore, so maybe the next Digimon game will have a different one. That's just me hoping, because if that engine very clearly is struggling at this point. Like, I think a lot of the actual issues with Time Stranger are not necessarily the game. It is limitations of the engine. Like, I'm just thinking about like how much more fun Central Town would be to run around if you could actually run around it. And it wasn't like very much thin streets. There's always loading zones. At least once when I went up a ladder to like get on top of a building, because there's like higher, that did a loading zone while I was going up the ladder. It's like, a lot of the issues I have with the game, I think would go away if it was a bigger world. Is my issue is there. Do you think we'll get another adventure? Do you think we'll get another adventure movie or anime in general? Yes. That will be in what form? Don't know. But like people.
Yeah. Like, we'll get, so we're getting something.
Yeah.
Look, adventure prints money.
Yeah.
Then let's see. Matthias asks, Time Stranger putting Digimon back in the spotlight. What do you think the game department should do for the next? I think this is what we just answered, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The problem is putting Digimon in the spotlight is hard to comment on because it was in the spotlight when Survive came out. Like,
yeah, and it's got to. It has the thing is Time Stranger has to stay in the spotlight.
Like,
for
here's
that to
like
work.
Here's the thing. Like, people keep going, "Oh, Digimon's back." It's been back for 10 years. Like,
yeah, yeah,
like, yeah. We need to see where it is. Not now. In a week. In a month. In the holiday season. Because here's the thing: there's a lot of games coming out. Time Stranger came out. There's nothing for a few days that is not on PC. That is like, I know when Hubilos returned his game, he immediately went to Ghost of Yotei, which he was looking forward to.
I was going to say Ghost of Yotei is the one,
but that is also PlayStation right only. And I have to be honest. When you ask, what do you guys think of a Cookie Run Digimon crossover? I don't know what Cookie Run is.
Me either. I haven't played it.
I know what it is. It's trying to visualize a Digimon crossover, and it's not coming to me. It's hard to. I'm not seeing it unless it like completely takes over the game. Which I know Cookie Run has had tie-ins before, but I always feel like Digimon tie-ins in mobile games are so inadequate.
Okay, ready for the next one? Wait, we need to stretch you for this one. I've seen some people talk about Digimon Story Time Stranger being a Game of the Year contender. Do you think that's possible?
No.
Okay, Dev's reaction was the best. I think the noise thing actually cut her off because of how much she was screeching laughing.
And remember, we get these questions in advance.
Yeah. So, like, here's the funny thing. Like, when I said earlier, like, earlier I told Dev and AR I got Mexican for lunch. I sent them the questions before today. That was coincidental that was there. So here's the thing. Not only do I not think time change is absolutely not game of the year. I think there's better. I think there's better JRPGs coming out this month. To be honest, like even the same week you have Ghost of Yotai, which is a game of the year contender. It's not even a game I like or play. Yet chat is very much enjoying Dev the way you like screeched laughing. Yeah. Anyone saying Time Stranger is a game of the year contender is either overly positive to such a degree they do not pay attention to games, or is a social media influencer who wants attention from Digimon fans. There is no one who plays games on a normal basis who would say this is a game of the year contender. I think it's good. I think if it wasn't Digimon, we would not be talking about the game at all, to be honest.
It's okay for it to just be a good game.
No, and like that's the thing. I gave it a B-. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's absolutely not game of the year.
Yeah.
There are RPGs I'm personally looking forward to more in October. In fact, I haven't played yet because I don't have time. A few days before Time Stranger came out, they finally remastered Final Fantasy Tactics. I will probably enjoy
right.
that.
Yeah.
One. Yeah. Now, I don't think that's a game of the year contender either, to be fair, but I enjoy it. Yeah. Let's see. Do we miss any questions in chat? Okay, next question. So, what does getting a game or movie early for reviewing it entail? Well, AR also got the review copy for the games. It was basically. Yeah.
I didn't get try early. I got some access codes for it.
Yeah. In the case of something like the beginning or time change, it's basically copy. You're agreeing not to even mention you have it until a specific time and date. Like mm-hmm. for Time Stranger on Steam, they even sent instructions on how to set the game for private, so it does not show up that you own it if you play it.
Yeah,
it's basically like private
people do for some reason is share what games they're playing. Like I don't want to do.
No,
that.
I don't do that either. But that was like literally like completely blank it out. Like I have no idea what my Steam account looked like to friends when I would play that game and it was set for private.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That completely makes sense.
Yeah, and it was basically the same for the beginning, which was here's a copy of the movie dubbed, here's a copy of the movie sub. Don't talk about it until mm-hmm. this time on this day. Yep. And that was it.
Yep.
Sometimes they want you to send them
a copy of the review just to show you that you did it.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last chance.
I think they did ask for my review for like a link to my review for beginning.
I believe they did for mine also.
Yeah.
Last chance in chat for questions. Last question of 7 times. Do we expect Digimon Beat Break to have music CDs and home video release in Japan? OP and ED, yes. CDs depends how it does. Home video release depends how it does. Because Ghost Game.
I wish they would do image songs again. They did it for Atmon and it was so much fun.
It was,
having just entire huge collections of music.
I would have liked it to get it while like Atmon was running, because if I remember right, wasn't that like a month or two before it ended?
It was pretty close to the end, yeah.
Yeah,
It was late enough that one of the songs did end up in the show. One of the actual image songs ended up
I think it was the airy one, but I think it was like I think it was before they ever did the CD.
No, there was that concert song, but then she had another song playing it. One of her actual image song was playing in a different episode later on. They did play both.
Okay. Yeah, it will depend how Beat Break's doing. Okay, then. Okay. The round of questions and chat, a few good ones. Okay. What Halloween Digimon would you like to see made? I don't know. Anytime they do one, it tends to be more like pumpkin.
What have they not done yet? They've done pumpkin. They've done like vampires and stuff.
You know what they should do?
Zombies, witches.
Okay, I got one. Spirit Betsumon. It's Betsumon, but themed after Spirit Halloween. He just appears when stuff's going wrong to take stuff. okay.
When you said Spirit Festival, I thought it'd be transparent with tire tracks on it.
Okay, here's a good one from Ramon. Do we think Digimon Beatbreak will have future DLC and Time Stranger? I think that they didn't have stuff ready for day one is an insane, failure.
That seemed like, why would you not do that?
It really felt like they were going to go, oh, there's not newish Digimon because busy. And then, like, the day the anime would start, they'd be like, here's some free DLC of the leads. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That they didn't.
Like, why would you not have, like, a costume pack for the Beatbreak characters?
Yeah. Then Matthias has a good question. As a non-spoiler question, is the story for Time Stranger any good? Scale from 1 to 10 based on other Digimon stories. They're early in the game. They think it's pretty good so far. I would say the story is better than Cyber Sleuth. The characters are up and down in comparison. I feel like some of the characters are better. Like Inori and Agiomon are better. But it feels like even your main character farting around in Cyber Sleuth or Hacker's Memory had more personality than they do in Time Stranger.
That lines up with what what I play in the demo. I can understand that with characters.
Yeah. Like, to be fair, the story characters in the last two games were also kind of empty-headed nothings. Like,
yeah.
But it maybe because you don't have someone popping up talking on your behalf from the wristwatch thing.
Also the phone was thing, fun because characters in Cyber Sleuth were actively commenting on how you have a lack of personality.
Yeah.
Like Nokia was making jokes about it's like, wow, it's actually wild how many friends you have considering you don't really have much of a personality.
Yeah, the issue in Time Stranger is anytime you answer something, it feels like you're supposed to have a ton of personality, and it's just like nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say
it's like they have voices because they're the counterpart navigators. So it's like, why wouldn't you not do something with that?
Okay, and last question, which is a follow up from Matthias, but about Beatbreak. Do we think the series will have an insert song for the evolution? We have information about that. They're afraid they won't, based on episode one. I would like to assume that 6-minute teaser thing at the beginning was, like we said, to keep kids from turning away. I really hope they do not do the Atmon thing of an instrumental, because I feel like the song for Evolution means something and it gets you hyped up. We have not heard anything about that.
I don't necessarily need an insert song for Evolution. I need an insert song for, like, when there's some sort of climactic battle going on that's persistent, like, every episode, which usually corresponds to an Evolution. Yeah. But if they do things differently, I don't mind as long as you throw something in.
Yeah. I need something that slaps while someone gets smacked down.
Yeah,
basically.
But yes, we have no news on insert songs. If they don't, it is absolutely a mistake, though. Here's the thing. Like, we can debate 100 times the quality of the graphics in the game, for example. I don't think there's any debate that not having insert songs would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, for sure. You missed that, Natmon.
Yeah. Okay. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like everyone to read?
Dokugumon.
That's a good one. AR, have you done anything lately to bring up?
I'm working on stuff. Pay attention to my Blue Sky, and I'm AR Pulver on Blue Sky. I'm First Agent on Tumblr. Oh, I do have my review for the first episode of Beat Breaks, where I go in a little more into some things. It's on my Tumblr.
I remember reading it and feeling like it felt like a lot of what I expect you to talk about feels more like you're waiting to find out more about.
Which is understandable considering how the last two seasons had great starting episodes and then dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So
now, just to clarify, AR is not back permanently. He's here because it's episode one.
We did technically have drinks.
What was that?
It's only oolong. We did technically have drinks, even if it's only oolong too.
Come on,
this is all oolong.
The bowling place is going to have something.
That's the thing is, like, I will try. I'm going to keep doing my episode reviews. So keep up with my Tumblr page. I'll put links in the Discord when I post them.
Now,
like, you can keep up with what I'm thinking of the show,
now,
even if I'm not on every week.
As an asterisk, I am not available next Monday. So I expect me and Dev will be recording probably Sunday, maybe Tuesday, but I expect Sunday. So thank you everyone for showing up. I can be found with the Will as always. me and Dev will catch you next week. AR, I'm sure we'll be back before too long with a show going and stuff to talk about. Something will pop
up. Yeah, we can do periodic check-ins with how things are going with Beat Break.
So,
and who knows, maybe one of these days I'll buy Time Stranger. Who knows?
Did you actually...
Did
you play the demo or did you beat the demo?
I beat the demo. I did not play the part after you beat the demo.
Yeah, it's just letting you run around the town to see how it is. It's not anything
story. Okay, yeah, I didn't play that. I did beat the demo.
Okay, thank you, Owen, for showing up. Very long show because we had way too much to talk about. Me and Dev will catch you next week.
New game and a new show.
I know, so much. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.